Today, I want to read to you from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. With God's word open in front of us, let us pray. Almighty God, thank you that we can have this connection with you through Jesus Christ. And that is our prayer right now, that your Holy Spirit will make that connection possible so that as we sit here, we will experience your presence, experience your love and your grace, and be open and ready to receive your word also, your message for each and every one of us. I pray that you will bless us now as we listen to your word and prepare our hearts to allow you to speak to us. And we do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Mark 5, 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone from him, forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talita kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. Touch. I don't know if you've noticed how people always want to touch the Pope, right? No matter where he goes, people have this desire to reach out and touch him, almost like Tiger Woods on the golf course. When he moves from one tee to the next, people would hang out their hands and hope that he would just touch them. Or when a sports team takes the field and kids and fans hang out their hands, hoping that the players would extend theirs and and touch them, even if it's just for a second. For me, one of the most striking images of the pandemic is the image of two people on separate sides of a glass partition. Like when someone visited a loved one in a nursing home and they were outside and the patient was inside and they would put their hands out and touch one another, except there would be a glass window in between. You know, touch is vitally important. Rene Spitz observed an orphanage in South America. Because of a lack of funds, there was not enough staff to adequately care for children ages 3 months to 3 years. Nurses changed diapers, fed and bathed the children. But there was little time to hold and cuddle and talk to them as a mother would. And because of this, serious deterioration set in, loss of appetite, inability to sleep well, vacant expressions in their eyes. Almost a third of the children died within a year, but not from a lack of food or health care. They died because of a lack of touch and emotional nurture. Eventually, only 21 of 97 children survived. The importance of physical and emotional touch. There's, of course, also something like inappropriate touch, which can cause incredible harm to someone. And I think we can all recognize that inappropriate touch is a real problem. But we need to recognize that no touch within a certain context is also a problem. So let me ask you this: have you ever been touched by an act of kindness? Have you ever been touched by someone's generosity? Or a beautiful piece of art, or an inspirational movie? Have you ever been touched by God's splendor in creation, where you say, you know, I was really touched by the beauty of that sunrise, or the way the colors change in the fall? Jesus was someone who people wanted to touch and be touched by. But in his case, people didn't want to touch him because he was famous or anything. They wanted to touch him because his touch was said to have healing powers. And so in today's reading, we have Jairus. He's an official of the local synagogue, an important and influential person within this context. And what's interesting is that he doesn't simply ask Jesus to come and heal his daughter. He very specifically says, come and lay your hands on her. He begs Jesus to come and place his hands on her so that she will get well and live. Come and touch her, Jesus, so that she will recover and be well. Because you see, Jairus is really desperate. His daughter is young. He loves her very much. She's gravely ill. She's dying. And so he approaches Jesus and he asks him to go touch her and heal her. He says in verse 23, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And Jesus hears his plea and is filled with compassion, and he agrees to go to his house. And so he makes his way to Jairus' house And this large crowd follows him and presses on with him because they want to see another miracle. And so they crowd around Jesus as he makes his way to Jairus' house. In the midst of the crowd is a woman who also approaches Jesus and reaches out to touch him. It says in verse 25, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she'd gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She's been bleeding for 12 years, for as long as Jairus' daughter was old. And she's suffering physically as a result of it. She's broke because she spent all her money on doctors she hoped would heal her, but nothing worked. But she was also suffering spiritually because in the culture that she was living in, the flow of her blood makes her ritually unclean. And she's really a social leper. She's not supposed to be out in public where people might accidentally be touched by her because that would make them unclean as well. But she's convinced that merely touching Jesus, simply touching his clothes, would heal her and save her. It says she had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, if I but touch his clothes, I will be made well. If I can just touch his clothes, I will get well. And so she steps forward and she does it. When Jesus passes the crowd, she reaches out her hand and she grabs a piece of his cloak and she gives it a quick squeeze and lets it go before she actually tugs on Jesus and draws attention to herself. And amazingly, the flow of her blood dries up immediately. Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. She's instantly healed. And Jesus notices that power had gone out from him. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Someone touched me. Who was it? And his disciples go, Jesus, are you kidding? Look at this crowd. Everyone is touching everyone. And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, who touched me? Dozens of people have touched you. What are you talking about? Everybody is touching everyone. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And the woman realized what had happened to her. So she came trembling with fear and knelt at his feet and told him the whole truth. The woman is mortified. She's literally scared to death because you see, she didn't belong in that crowd to begin with. According to the ancient law, her bleeding problem made her an outcast. If you touched this woman, or if she touched you, you were considered unclean as well, and you couldn't go to the temple of God for a week. And if it becomes known that she was putting the community at risk, she could be stoned to death. And so when Jesus singles her out as having touched him with a purpose, her joy at having been healed turns to instant dread. Just as her life was about to begin anew, it looked like it might end. So she steps up in fear and trembling. And she kneels before Jesus and she gives him the whole story and she tells him what she had done. She tells him the whole truth, it says. And I'm sure there was a collective sharp intake of breath amongst the crowd. Suddenly everybody there was probably wondering, did I rub shoulders with this woman? Who knows how many people she had made unclean just in the last 10 minutes. I'm sure people began to murmur to one another. But before the imminent panic could set in, Jesus did an amazing thing. Says to her in verse 34, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." My daughter, your faith has made you well. You took a risk of faith and now you're healed and you're whole. So go in peace and be blessed and live well. She was desperate because of her bleeding. So she touched Jesus and he healed her. And he restored her to the community. And she was an outcast no longer. Meanwhile, some messengers arrive from Jairus' house. And they tell their leader, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? It's no use," they say. "It's too late. Your daughter is dead. You don't have to bother Jesus any longer. Don't trouble him any further." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't listen to them, okay? Just trust me." And then he stopped the crowd and he only allowed Peter and James and John to go with him to the synagogue's leader's house. And when they got there, there was a lot of commotion and weeping and confusion and loud crying and neighbors bringing in casseroles and all of that. And Jesus went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep. She's not dead. She's only sleeping." "What?" they said. "Are you kidding? You don't know what you're talking about." And they laughed at him. But he made them all leave. And he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. And holding her hand, he said to her, "Talita, kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around, and they were overwhelmed and totally amazed. He touches her hand and he tells her to wake up, and she comes to life, and they were all beside themselves with joy. Two desperate people, a father who's losing his young child, is willing to do anything, whatever it takes, to restore her health. And in his desperation, he approaches Jesus for healing. "Come touch my daughter so she can get well." And a desperate woman with chronic and debilitating health issues, she reaches out and she touches Jesus and she is instantly healed. So two ordinary people whose faith sets them apart. So what about us? What about you and me? What can we learn from these two desperate people and their encounters with Jesus? I want to share just two quick things with you. One, I believe Jesus wants to touch you. Jesus wants to touch you. He wants to touch you with his love. He wants to touch you with his grace. He wants to touch you with his warm embrace. He wants to touch you with his healing power in your life. He wants you to have faith in him, and he wants you to trust him. Jesus' words to you today is, don't be afraid, only believe. This challenge that you are facing right now, this illness that you are dealing with, this crisis that you are living through, don't be afraid, have faith. He wants to say to you, your faith has made you well. Because you see, it's faith that enables you to encounter God's healing touch. It is faith that allows you to experience his resurrection power. And Jesus wants to touch you. And my prayer for you is that you will be sensitive to his touch. That your heart will not be too hardened for his love to penetrate it. That you won't be too calloused to the point of not feeling his embrace.